Let's bask in the glory of a Roma victory against AC Milan. Let's bask in the glory of AS Roma winning away at the San Siro. Because it hasn't been done in a long, long time. Let's bask in the glory that Daniele De Rossi did what Jose Mourinho couldn't do. And that's beat Stefano Pioli's AC Milan game. Milan side, sorry. De Rossi did it in one game. Mourinho couldn't done in six. That's not throwing shade. That's just throwing facts. Welcome to the latest episode of La Magicast. I'm your host, Scott Monroe. Welcome to, I think it's episode 259 or could be 260. Welcome to a day after Roma go to the San Siro. The Giuseppe Meazza throwing some nostalgia at you. And Gianluca Mancini was the hero again. Probably Italy's hated footballer at the moment. Sticks the finger up to Lazio fans and AC Milan fans in the space of 5 days. With me this evening, because we are recording on a Friday evening, I have Joey. How are you, Joey?
Scott, I am over the moon, not at cloud nine. I'm even past that. I am absolutely, I'm over the moon of what we saw yesterday. So I'm having a wonderful day. How are you?
Well, it's only half time, but let us bask in the glory.
Exactly.
Whatever happens next week happens. But Roma take it.
A reaction, Scott, next week, sorry to cut you off, is a different thing. Now let's just at least soak in, you know, winning away for the first time since 2017.
As Chris Jericho used to say in that run where he did the list of Jericho, let's drink it in, man. And I'm putting my arms out wide. Just drink it in. Just let it soak in. It's a 1-0 victory against the top six Italian side, where the other Italian side dusted up a potential Premier League champion. And Joey, I think Italy now are at 99.8% for that fifth Champions League spot.
They are indeed. You could probably hear the smile on my face from it. I was incredibly happy, you know, just even for the Italian teams to do this. Obviously, for Roma going up against an Italian giant, and for what Atalanta did was the absolute unthinkable, winning 3-0 away. I was like, that's why I said couldn't have been a better day. We're nearly there. We need maybe a win, a draw, and like a qualification beyond the all-Italian quarterfinal. And yeah, we're nearly there for fifth spot. And you know what, Scott? I will recheck the rules, but I saw somewhere if somebody were to end fifth, such as Roma or Atalanta, which seems to be the case right now, and one of those teams win the Europa League final, I will double check this, but one place I saw said that they may send the sixth team to Champions League because the winner of the Europa League would take, you know, that spot, and they still need to send five teams from the league. So there potentially could be six teams in Champions League, given nobody, you know, implodes next week and fumbles. I'm mainly speaking of Atalanta. So we may even see six Italian teams in the Champions League next year.
Oh God, can you imagine that? Aside from the game last night, do you think there was a whiff of arrogance from like some British media going into this game about Atalanta? Well, we watch them week in, week out, and they are a good side to watch. Gasperini has been at the helm, I think, is it 8 years now? And he's done really well at the job. I think he's found his home. After the disaster of Inter in 2011, where they went from Mourinho to Benitez to Gasperini, and they fell off a cliff. That was the banter era Inter. But do you think there was like this whiff of arrogance because, Liverpool, they are going for everything. Well, they got knocked out of the FA Cup by Manchester United in extra time. They drew through with Manchester United last weekend while gifting them a couple of goals. There's just this whiff of British media arrogance. It's the same when Bayer Leverkusen beat West Ham earlier. I saw some bits on TalkSport going, this West Ham fan was like, I don't know how Bayer Leverkusen are top of the Bundesliga. I don't watch it, but that's an awful attempt at a Cockney accent, even though London is literally just down the road. But this whiff, it's just, it annoys me that Roma beat Brighton, Porto take Arsenal to penalties, and then a couple of weeks later, Porto absolutely annihilate Benfica in the Portuguese league. Who else am I thinking? Like Atalanta winning last night, Bayer Leverkusen beating West Ham. It's just
Milan beating Newcastle for the Europa League spot too.
Oh my god, yeah, and then we're like, and Milan beating Newcastle in the last match, say the Champions League, like. I remember, like, all this media was like, Newcastle can win this league, win that group. Fuck me, did they embarrass themselves? Finishing rock bottom, PSG and Dortmund scraping through, Milan getting into the Europa League, and a lot of football fans of the Premier League nature have egg on their face. But I don't know how you see it on the other side of the pond. Do you see this arrogance from the British media? Like,
I do.
What I saw was like, what I saw, James Pearce said, it was like, Liverpool probably get past Atalanta, they'll get Leverkusen in the semis and they'll get someone in the final. And I'm just like, fucking hell. And I'm so glad so many people kept the receipts, and just like were quote tweeting it yesterday and stuff behind, because I haven't seen all the stuff from yesterday. I just seen the result. I've seen the reaction that James Horncastle's put up on what he said on TNT Sports yesterday, and it's gone viral on social media. But just like the arrogance of the British media for football it pisses me off.
Yeah, it's certainly there. We hear it across the pond too. A lot of the fans here, Scott, are mostly Premier League, we'll say, for Canada and the US, and they really deem as it's the best league in the world. And for sure they have an argument, but it can't be that I'm not going to say they're mid-table team, but teams that range from, 6 to 10 can win the Serie A or the Bundesliga. That's where it really comes into play. Plus, there's always a little something when Liverpool have good years. So we definitely get that whiff here as well. And I'm glad Atalanta really showed Liverpool, that they're a good side. And I even saw, I'm glad you mentioned James Horncastle. I'm glad he mentioned something that, I don't actually disagree with. He actually suggested that Liverpool, it won't happen. Take a look at Gasperini for the Liverpool job. I actually see it as a fit. He's a high-pressing, attacking coach that would fit Liverpool to a T, to be honest with you. But I don't think the British media or, even the clubs would even think of looking at it. But I think he's right. I think they underestimate a lot of teams. And if you notice this week in Champions League, Europa League, or Conference League, there was only one English winner. There was only one team that won, and that was Aston Villa against Lille at home. Every other team either lost or drew. It wasn't a good week for them. So this is where we're talking about the fifth, the top two coefficient. They even dropped down quite a bit percentage to make it. Like, they're really neck and neck now with Germany. And sure, they have a lot of quality top end, but they need to. I don't think they watch or they broaden their footballing, let's say, I'm not going to say knowledge, but their thoughts on football outside of the Premier League and outside of British football. I mean, you probably hear more than I do. And that's where it's unknown to them about teams like Atalanta, or when Roma played Brighton, teams like, how Roma are. Brighton, I mean, they're a good team, but they're always a team full of young players and high prospects. And they're in eighth, ninth place. And they're thought of by some of their fans to win the Serie A, a ninth place team in the, the Premier League with mostly young players to win the Serie A. it's a little too much. And look at Bayer Leverkusen season. I don't understand West Ham fans. Like, this team has not lost a single game all year in any competition. How do you expect to say you'll get by them rather with ease? Not everybody, but some. So there definitely is that whiff of arrogance. And I'm glad, especially for Atalanta's case, they really showed Liverpool at the Anfield. And yeah, they really had a great match. And it's not the first time they won at Anfield. It's actually the second now. So they know how to set up for them. And that's a great result for them, for Atalanta. And to be honest, you know, I know we battle with them in the league, but I really hope they can just keep a cool head for the second leg and not do anything stupid. And they can really knock out one of the favorites of Europa League in Liverpool.
Completely agree. I just wanted to get off my chest about that. Should we talk about last night in Milan? One of our colleagues, will we say, podcast colleagues, who comes on the podcast when he can. Imran was in Milan last night and he was at the game. I sent him a couple of messages after the game. He was quite happy with the result and with the performance, and he posted a lovely picture on social media with the Roma players at the end, thanking the Roma players who were up in Roma fans, sorry, were up in the gods. And I think there was a lot of Roma fans dotted around the San Siro. Yesterday was, I think, probably one of the most clinical performances from Roma in the Daniele De Rossi era. I listened to Roma Press podcast earlier. I had the fortune of listening to John's husky tones in the afternoon as my working day in the office was dwindling down into the final hours of the shift. And I agree with both what Andy and John say, like, bask in the glory, just enjoy it, because we don't know what's going to happen next week. Like, into this game, Milan were favourites because they've won 7 in a row. Roma have not the greatest record against AC Milan recently, as I pointed out in my snarky intro. Roma have not beaten AC Milan under Pioli for a long time. It was 2019, 2-1 victory. Zaniolo and Dzeko scoring. And this is Roma's first victory at San Siro since 2017. In the 16-17 era. A season where Roma should have won a trophy, could have won a trophy, but then fell at the final hurdle in 3 competitions. I won't mention the Lyon game or the Derby in the Coppa Italia or the Napoli game in Serie A. I do not want to give PTSD to other people. But yesterday, Joey, I messaged you at halftime, the tactical setup, 4-4-2. I liked it. It was very compact. Pellegrini out left, Al-Shaarawy out wide. Pellegrini tucked in. Al-Shaarawy was playing a bit deeper as well because he was covering for Rafa Leão. But with Roma were in possession, it was more of a 3-5-2. And then out of possession, it was a 4-4-2. In possession, 3-5-2. And they sort of switched from time to time. And I quite liked it. Celik was playing centrally. Then he was playing right back. He had Rafa Leão in his back pocket all game. Like, Leão and Hernandez did not get the space they want and they crave on week in, week out, and they do get in some games. Like, Roma nullified the spaces out wide and made it as compact in the middle as you can. They sat deep, defended deep, and hit on the counter-attack. And when you've got Al-Shaarawy, who's got pace out wide, and you've got the class of Dybala, who drifted in from his central position, he was coming as deep as the centre circle for times. Leandro Paredes has just turned into an absolute monster. Daniele De Rossi's worked miracles with him. Smalling coming in back to play in the centre-back position, who's hardly featured because of his injuries, and they don't want to rush him back with his injury record this season. But I was amazed. I was in awe of Roma's performance yesterday. I don't know if you would echo all my sentiments, but how would you see that performance under De Rossi? And Roma, actually won away in a knockout competition game for the first time in like 25 months. Vitesse Arnhem in the Conference League in March 2022. And then before that, it was Ajax in the Europa League quarterfinals in 2021 when Roger Ibanez scored that wonderful goal in an empty Amsterdam arena because of COVID. That's how far back we are going for a Roma to win in a knockout game in a European competition.
Yeah, that's extremely far for an away game, especially that we've been to two finals in a row. Scott, this was one of the best and complete games, especially that first half, I've seen in a very long time against a good team. This was total complete from Roma, from Sviar all the way up into Dybala Lukaku up front, from everybody, from center backs to midfields to forwards. Look, I don't care what the stats say. I'm very analytical. I think this is one of the games you absolutely should have watched rather than looked at the expected goals, because the expected goals I saw, which little ludicrous, had 1.6 for Milan, with 0.62 for Roma, had one more for Milan. But you mentioned that they nullified a lot of the spaces. To me, the only big chance Milan got all game was right at the end, where Chukwueze, I mean, he did wonderful, had that dribble that passed to Giroud, who hit the bar. Other than that, I don't think they did much. People were praising Sviar, and I praise him as well. I thought he was wonderful, but what he did showed me another asset of Sviar's game and just what a goalkeeper is. They make some games look easy, and I found he made that game look easy, because Reinders had a comment saying of Sviar was unbeatable. I just think he was well positioned for most shots. He didn't really need to like go beyond to make this acrobatic reflex save on anything. Reinders, he had a couple shots on him. They were kind of central, but Sviar made it very easy to play, like even for his back line, because he was so well positioned. So yeah, it was a great game from him, but to me, he made it look easy, which is a wonderful aspect of a goalkeeper. And then you go on to the game itself, going with De Rossi, which I jokingly said, like, I mean, I'm in complete awe of his coaching mechanisms, his coaching tactics. I said, if he didn't have hair, I think it'd be Pep Guardiola, really. His tactical setup just completely outclassed Pioli. Pioli even said, you know, we didn't expect El Shaarawy to play on the right. He completely, him and Chelle completely nullified Leao and Teo Hernandez. And that was brilliant by De Rossi, because the first time we played Milan at the Olympico, Celik was getting bullied, and I cannot blame him, because he was kind of have to defend Leao and Teo, and it was not all by himself. He had Mancini with him, but it's different when you have a central player to a winger coming back to help with the right back and as well as the other center back. And Celik even mentioned of how well he and El Shaarawy did on that right side. And then you have Dybala controlling the middle with the help of Pellegrini. It was such a wonderful first half. De Rossi said how brave they were with the ball. They made some really swift action plays. They could have had a couple goals that first half beyond the Mancini goal. They could have had a couple goals. They had some opportunities. They had opportunities with Cristante. I think El Shaarawy missed a couple counters. The way they moved that ball around, like one of my favorite actions was, people might not remember it, when Lukaku held up the ball for Dybala and he just tried to slip through Pellegrini. A little more pace, the guy would have been clean on goal, but what a swift move. And even Spinazzola had a great game. I'm literally trying to mention everybody for how well they did. And this is all thanks to De Rossi and the rest of the staff of how they set him up for this game. We were in complete control. To me, I wasn't worried. I know there was that Giroud chance, like I mentioned, but other than that, I don't think they did much. And it's not just a result, Scott, it's how we achieved the result. To me, that made this so much better. We went toe-to-toe from 0 to 90. They had possession and chances where we had to dig deep and defend, and then vice versa. We had chances and possessions where Milan had to dig deep. It was going toe-to-toe, back and forth. It wasn't a lucky win. It wasn't a lucky result, or a result where you're clenched by the backside. for 90 minutes like against Leverkusen. We went toe-to-toe, and in the end, we even outclassed them. It was such a brilliant performance. I left him to last. I'll finally mention, and De Rossi mentioned, I'm glad too. People might say about Lukaku not scoring. I actually thought he had a great game. He was running, finding spaces, holding up the ball super well, even towards the end when we were digging deep. And it was amazing to see. If he can continue to play that way, same with the rest of the team. I mean, sky's the limit on reaching the objective this year. And I'll end off saying with Mancini, the hero again. I mean, he's just turning up in big games, and what a great defender he's becoming. Most hated, sure, but you can't say he's not one of the best Italian defenders right now, along with Bastoni. So just a wonderful, complete performance from Roma, and they deserve everything of that victory, and just applaud De Rossi and the rest of the team.
On Lukaku, Gabbia did let's just say, tried to do a man-marking job on him. It wouldn't surprise me if at the end of the game he would have followed him to the Roman locker room, because he just tried to man-mark him on the game. Lukaku was amazing. It was outstanding. He bullied Gabbia and Malik Thuram at the centre-half and gave him a rough time. I echo everything you say. At first, I thought Roma's goal was a bit dubious, but then I've seen photographic evidence this afternoon on social media, because social media is the god's way of posting everything on there, and Lukaku looked onside. Now, I don't know why Milan fans were getting upset about refereeing decisions against Roma, because if the shoe was on the other foot, I think us Roma fans have some questions about some dubious refereeing officiating and some decisions that some Serie A referees have given in the games in the past. But there was one contentious decision, and we said it off pod, the handball in stoppage time. My heart was in it, was beating not a thousand beats. It was getting a bit tense, because we're in 4 minutes of stoppage time. The French referee decides to play about 5.5, which he's entitled to, because it is the minimum of a stoppage time.
But Scott, was there extra stoppage time?
Yeah, because of the VAR.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I guess. Yeah. Okay.
And the subs and the subs in added time. But I thought it was handball, I'm not going to lie. I shit my pants. What were your thoughts on it?
I think, Scott, it's 50-50. If you tell me it's in Italy, I think it's called. If you tell me it's if you tell me outside of Italy, I think it's more 50-50. There was no danger around Tammy. He had to obviously use your arms when you jump. This was the same thing with Patricio in the penalty called against Milan. Really, for their second goal,
ripping off his cheek.
Exactly. He have to use his arm to elevate. I don't think he stuck out his hand at all. I think his hands were just the motion of jumping. And yeah, you could really look at it both ways. In Serie A, that's called. In other leagues and in Europe, I think it's more of a 50-50. And you know what? The only people that complained or made a meal of it are obviously Milan fans, to me, Scott. Everybody else, the neutrals, the journalists, I don't think I've really said a word about it, to be honest, unless maybe I didn't read it. Like if you look at Asmund's goal, like we shared each other some people who had some really, really harsh thoughts on the referee call. Like that's, you know, that was even for neutrals, that was really like going, I'm going to say global, but it was really making the rounds on social media. I haven't seen anything about the Tammy handball. People look at it both ways. So I personally think it's more of a referee discretion. It's a 50-50 for me. So because it's 50-50, I can't say if it was or wasn't. But I'm glad they didn't call it, Scott. And
likewise.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't call it, Scott. And they just, you know, we actually got rewarded for the great performance that Roma had. The only regret, and again, statistics are lying here, I thought we had more chances. We could have easily put in 2 to 3 including obviously the Mancini goal in the first half. So maybe Milan were kind of lucky to get out of there only with a 1-0 loss.
No, I completely, you are spot on. If that was in Serie A, that's why I'm in my head, because I watch, I said it's because I am a football fan, I watch too much Italian football. And if like Roma, if Roma were, didn't play yesterday, I would have been watching Lazio Salernitana right now. So for my sins, but I will be watching Bologna Monza tomorrow and a couple of games on Sunday. But with that, like I watch a bit of English football. My team is in, which I support, are in the lower leagues of England, English football. I think if that happened in the league that I watch, say League Two or League One or the EFL, that sort of is a penalty because he is jumping. His arms are close together. Like I saw a penalty in the West Brom Rotherham game. I'll send it to you afterwards. Rotherham are already relegated, and it's, no, I think it was Blackburn. Is it Blackburn or West Brom? It's one of the two. And I apologise because I saw it earlier. The referee gave a decision for handball for a penalty, and it was like 3 yards outside the box. And in the Championship, you don't get VAR. But I think there isn't an over-reliance of VAR, especially in the leagues that we watch. And for this split second in my head, I was thinking, this is a penalty. I've seen it. And the commentators on TNT Sport were like, that looks questionable. But I do understand why it wasn't given. It's just, it's on the referee's discretion. But as you said, it, if that was in Serie A, with the officiating that we watch in week in, week out, that is sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe it's debatable. And then you make the joke to me last night, like, as I was going to bed, that a bald referee who has in time in the past does not give handballs. I do not want to give anyone PTSD. My mate's a Chelsea fan, and he refereed the first game of the Premier League season and he gave a penalty for Chelsea against Liverpool. And safe to say, my mate absolutely despises his referee. He has the initials of AT. And you joked to me yesterday, Joey, and I will bring you up on this, that you jokingly said he could referee the quarter final second leg. Why? Why, Joey? Why? Why'd you do this to me?
Scott, I saw it on social media, so I just laughed myself really at it. I didn't think of it, but yeah, you never know, right? They want to, if there was a Serie A, Scott, and there was like some sort of return leg in a cup, Roma, Milan, like you would see one of Pairetto, Di Bello, Orsato. So that's that's why, like, you never know in Europe with us. I don't know. I just think we always have, I always think we have bad luck with refereeing, really. And yeah, so I was just making a joke about it. But Scott, look, this wasn't ref by Serie A.
No, it's Liga, Mr. Turpan. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This wasn't ref by Serie A. And to me, there was a difference. I don't felt like we were unjustified for certain calls. Like in Serie A, we would have had everybody booked and all those guys missing the second leg because we had a few people booked. The only one was Cristante, which I think it was harsh. But again,
there was a couple of yellows. There was a couple of yellows that were a little bit harsh yesterday. I thought Ruben Loftus-Cheek's yellow card on Dybala was
harsh. Yeah.
Soft as, very harsh. That was a good challenge. He wins the ball, but Dybala, I think he got roughed house a couple of times, which is, he is Roma's best player, and opposition do like to lay one on the best player. And Loftus-Cheek just absolutely wins the ball, no problems, but that's not a yellow. There is a couple of yellows, like the Cristante one I could, and there's some fouls that were given. And I was just like, oh, that's a bit soft. But I don't want to spend too much time on referees.
Right, but the tone of it, Scott, is like, it's okay, maybe, maybe not. Maybe you shouldn't have given it. But when we speak of the Serie A refs, it's like half our team is carded and we're talking as if like, no, this shouldn't be a card. This shouldn't. There's a different tone to it. Like this is more digestible and acceptable rather than Serie A where half our team is carded for basically looking at the player or touching the player with their finger or their hand. It's ludicrous.
What, like the Finger of Doom in WCW?
Yes, exactly. Good reference. Back in the
day for Hogan and Nash. Yes, I think there was exactly. A bash at the beach. I've made too many wrestling references in the last couple of weeks. I apologize. Well, wrestling is becoming good again, as my mate said. Udinese on Sunday. How would you go about this?
I think, Scott, with the lead you have against Milan, I don't know if you can, this is the unfortunate, I don't know if you can run the same team, to be quite honest with you. I would love to. I think a lot of the players are in form. You know, guys like Celik, finally, to me, he's given an opportunity. Again, not the best player in the world, but I certainly think he's been our best out of the three on the right back. And you notice, Scott, I haven't mentioned him, but no Christensen, no problems. That's how I'm kind of seeing it. We're soaring high without him. So, but it's somebody like him, you probably have to rotate. You need maximum concentration to win the second leg. Now that we're up 1-0 away, going home to the Olympico, you probably have to do turnover. You're going to risk the game for sure because Udinese is a physical side, but you're going to have to risk turnover. I don't think you can start everybody. You could start guys like, obviously, Cristante because he's going to be on a yellow. He had a second yellow against Milan, so he's missing the second leg. But I don't think you could start everyone. That's the unfortunate thing about it. So you're going to have to risk a couple of players, and hopefully you can come out with it because they absolutely need a victory, right? They absolutely need to win that game. So you're going to risk it, but there has to be a little bit of turnover. I think that's how De Rossi will approach it. You know, in terms of appearance and who makes the field, but mentally, it's the same. He says if they don't go out and play against Udinese, they haven't learned anything. He's speaking from a mental standpoint. Like, mm-hmm. They need to keep going with this. What he's trying to transcend to them, he said this, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, he mentioned, like, we got to go to Udinese, same thing, you know, the same way we are, and if they don't do it, they're not learning anything, they're not going to that next level. They have to do it. And yeah, you risk turnover, but we need to see some of those guys who will start that didn't play on Thursday. They have to step up and show that we can win in Udine.
Mm, completely agree. He's brought this mindset of a winning mentality. That's not a stab at anyone, but no, I've really enjoyed this. This was like a good performance, like a way performance. Like Roma are dropping these performances now. And Joey, 4 clean sheets in a row.
Yeah, it's no coincidence, right? With our defender Mancini being in the best form ever. And we actually have a goalkeeper that can save shots. You really, it's a recipe that works. De Rossi said that he probably wouldn't have been able to fix a lot of the defensive problems. He was being very humble about it, you know, in little time, but I mean, he has fixed it. Look at him. Four clean sheets in a row. It's first time since, I think it was 2017, I'm pretty sure, with I don't know if it was Eusebio De Francesco, the beginning of that year, or Spalletti. I forget which one it is, but it was first time since 2017 that we kept 4 clean sheets in a row. And it's all thanks to the defensive structure of De Rossi with obviously the players and Zviar. So that's going to be the key because you're not going to be able to score every game. Some games you're going to have to win by CB scoring in big games twice. Like we haven't had a goal from an attacker since even before Lecce. Who's the game before Lecce? Sassuolo, Pellegrini.
Pellegrini, yeah.
Right. So you have to find different ways of winning.
Would have been Brighton in the Europa League because Lukaku scored. Who scored against Fiorentina? Oh, Hussamawar
and Llorente.
Diego Armando Llorente, that I'm nicknaming him. Yeah.
So from attacker, Scott, I think it's from Brighton, and from anyone else deeper midfield, it was Pellegrini Sassuolo, and that's weeks ago. So you got to find different ways to win.
Yeah, you mentioned that year, 2017. So that's either peak second year, Vojcezny, Wojciech Szczęsny. My mum would be proud of, she's got Polish roots, and she would be proud of me saying that name right. Or it would have been the first season of Alisson when under Di Francesco. So that was either those two goalkeepers. And we've won three games 1-0. Three games out of four 1-0 against Sassuolo, Lazio, and then last night. It's just, I'm liking the vibe now. This team is giving me vibes, and I'm enjoying it. I'm here for it until the rest of the season. I'm here for the ride, and I'm just going to embrace it.
Yeah, we have to, Scott. I mean, look, I definitely would think of next week, what's going on for sure, but let's embrace what they did tonight. Was absolutely phenomenal. I did not, in no way, if you would ask me, and I've been more positive, in no way would I thought Roma would have won. I thought if you got a draw, I would have been happy, and I would have been even all right with a one goal deficit, because I know how strong we are at the Olympico. But a 1-0 win, did not, just a win in general, I did not expect this at all. So we certainly have to embrace it, and we're firing on all cylinders. I mean, sometimes the attack, like we mentioned, it could be rough to score a goal, but we're finding ways. Like, I kind of feel the last four clean sheets we've had, barring the Lecce tie, like, we're doing things that's sometimes champions do, like Inter and Juve. Juve, so many times, they couldn't find a goal through their strikers and score 2-3 goals and dust off the opponent. They would find a goal from a random center back, from a random midfield, and they would win that game 1-0. Look at Inter, some of the tough games they played. They played Bologna, I won't forget. Their goal was center back to center back. That's what champions do. That's what good teams do. They find a way no matter what. And in our last two tough games, we've had a goal from a corner from a center back with Dybala assists. So, but we're playing well. There's a difference. We're not pinned in and 90 minutes and scored that one fluke chance and that was it. We're bringing it to other teams. That's why I say this type of success can last. And it's really, again, to the Rossi. I don't know how he doesn't have the contract yet. Like, he should have had it yesterday, really. And that's, shout out to Theo. I'll say it again. He should have had it yesterday. What he's doing now, and I mean, if we hit our objectives, who knows? Next year we can have an even better season. We get some, you know, players to kind of help with what they're doing now. And the players love playing for him. Dybala gave the mic drop, Scott, and he said that they love working with De Rossi, total silence when he speaks, and he can be at the levels. He even said he can get to the levels of Allegri and Mourinho. That, to me, was a mic drop right there of how well the guy has done, and it just, hats off to him. Whatever happens next week, I couldn't be more proud of this Europa League run. Like, we're facing extremely tough teams, and we're up for the task. I fully expect them to go through next week, Scott, but I won't be disappointed if they lose. But I do expect them to actually go through, because, you know, Roma have are really good at home, and they don't really lose much at the Olympico. So even a draw is enough. But, and the way the Rossi is playing, he's given me confidence that they can do it and they can reach another semifinals, which would be, what, fifth year in a row? I think it would be five consecutive years in the semis. So they're doing historic things to me in Europe. They even surpassed Chelsea, Scott, in the ranking for UEFA. They're up to eighth now in the club ranking. So just amazing work that they keep doing year in, year out with this.
It'd be 4 years in a row. So it'd be 2020-21. Which was the semi-final against Manchester United, 21-22 Conference League winners. Last season, we don't mention, we don't talk about it. It's banned on this podcast from now going on. That game did not. That game did not happen. And then going on for this, Joey, I'm going to be there next week. It's like, I'm looking forward to this. I'm buzzing. Imran went to the first leg. I'm going to the second leg. I'm also going to the Bologna game. I'm really looking forward to this. I'm enjoying watching Roma again. It's been a long time coming. No disrespect to the other coaches in the previous seasons. No respect to the aura and the fan base of the previous coach. But this is the Roma the Roma fans deserve. And it's been a long time coming.
Exactly. You said it right. It's been a long time coming. This is not just on our previous coach in Mourinho, even the coaches before, I mean, I think we're looking more promising now than we did under those coaches. Like, I'm even mentioning Fonseca, Di Francesco. Like, the last time I can compare is maybe Spalletti. But Spalletti always had a hard time getting over the line with Roma. Yeah. So we don't know what De Rossi, obviously what it holds, but we're certainly past the honeymoon phase. And he's still keeping up with results. Again, we've only lost, to me, we've only had one loss, which to me is not a slip up in Inter. Brighton, yes, it's a loss. I get it, but they weren't even there to win. And they should have drew with Asmund's goal. But to me, I don't even think of that. I think of the actual one game we wanted to win that we lost was Inter. And then to me, the one slip up is Lecce. Fiorentina tying at away is really not a bad result. So, I mean, the one slip up against Lecce in since he's been coach. Again, Scott, I'm astonished because these are the same guys. Literally, I think the whole 11, barring one or two players, maybe Celik or whatever, that played at the San Siro in January, that lost 3-1, that looked like walking corpses. These are the same players. And they just went to Milan and they played their minds out against them. They played lights out. They played amazing. It was just incredible. And again, to go toe-to-toe instead of park the bus, score one goal, it's so satisfying to me. And yeah, I don't really use being a Roma fan and happy in the same sentence, but I'm certainly happy to be a fan right now. I really am. And it's going to be amazing, Scott, for you to go watch Milan and Bologna next week. That's going to be awesome. I'll be able to watch Milan at home. You know what, Scott? I thought maybe I'd miss the games when I go to my trip in Asia because, you know, I'll be missing Bologna, Napoli, and maybe Juve. But I don't think so, man. I think I'm going to wake up whatever time. I don't know how people do it there. I know there's some fans. 2, 3 a.m., I'm going to join them. I know Jody's out there. I'm going to join them. I'm going to wake up. Yeah, I'm waking up. I cannot miss those games now. Like, I cannot miss those games. I don't care about sleep. I really don't. I'm going to wake up to watch, especially Bologna. I have to. There's no way I can miss that game. I wouldn't even be able to sleep. Like, I have to watch them. Like, we're so close to what I want and probably what you want, Scott. It's like within touching distance for me. So, yeah, I mean, it's that just shows, like, I don't know, the excitement is back and the heart palpitation is like the cardiologist is coming back, but in a good way. Like it's a good feeling. Like I don't feel numb now when we go into these games because we have a chance of doing well and we're actually performing. It's incredible to see.
What would you have? Would you eat anything while watching those games at 3 a.m.?
Probably not. I'm not really much of a, I'm not really much of a, yeah, I don't think I eat like and then just go to bed. Like I like to digest.
No, I couldn't either.
Yeah, it's too much. Don't worry, I'll eat much before and whatever. I'll take a nap or something. But I'm definitely waking up and watching it on my phone. There's no way I'm missing the game against Bologna. There's absolutely no way. I don't know how Roma will handle it when we get to there, but because they're facing Milan on Thursday, but there's absolutely no way I can miss those games. Like. We're right there, Scott, and I want to hear that Champions League anthem. I want to hear it with Dybala looking up at the sky and, you know, even guys, Paredes, Pellegrini. I just want to see it next season, Scott, and we are so, so close. Just hope we get there and we can just get over the line. Not many games to go and just please, I hope they can just do this.
Fingers crossed. Before we wrap up, do you have anything else to add?
No, I just pretty much said it all. So no, we're good. Just glad we got that win. Shocking to me, but we played phenomenal. And yeah, just hope they keep it going.
Just this more games to come up next. I'll end with this. Thank you for the feedback, the likes, the retweets, the comments on my BTL piece on the revival of Roma under Daniele De Rossi that came out. What day are we today? We are Friday. So was that Tuesday or Wednesday? I think that came out early in the week during the Champions League games. I think just people on X. Wonderful. Thank you for the feedback. It was enjoyable to write it. I did do it in the international break. So it wasn't out of date, but there was, I didn't include the games against Lecce and Lazio, so it's not the end of the world, but no, I really enjoy it. Zach's given me a nice platform to do some stuff on some Serie A writing. I have two more pieces coming up soon, which I'll be doing over the weekend. Both of them on defenders. One of them for Italian, one of them that is on loan at a club. Giving you a hint. It's not Gianluca Mancini, Joey.
Oh, I thought it would be. The guy's in a form of his life. Maybe
I'm no. Unfortunately, no. I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
But guys, that's it. You can follow us at themagicast.com. You can find all our previous episodes on the website, and you can find us on all podcast platforms. And if you fancy it, give us a rating. I think we're at 4.3 on Spotify, which is quite good. Joey, thank you for joining me on this Friday evening for both of us. Well, it's late evening. It's 8:45 for me. I think it's 3:45 for you.
Yeah, it's 3:45. I was able to end work early, and I was excited to talk about this. So, yeah, it's always a pleasure. And like you mentioned, Scott, for, you know, any feedback would be nice. I'm glad we have a 4.3 rating. Give us a 5-star. Try to boost us up. Anything we can do to improve, I mean, I'm all here for it. We love talking about this team, and we hope you guys listened about it. But again, Scott, thank you so much. I'm glad we're able to speak after this wonderful victory.
Pleasure is all mine. Romanisti, enjoy your weekend. Just bask in it, because it may get better next weekend. We'll be back after the Udinese game on Monday, and then we'll be probably, someone else will be in the host chair for the next two games after this. After that, sorry, Udinese. I'm tired. It's been a long week. I'm so happy to be ending this week with a Roma victory. Enjoy the weekend. Ciao.
Ciao.